Saturday morning, we continue on the experts program, and our expert when it comes to employment is Edward King of Alliance Career Training Solutions. Good morning, Edward.
Good morning, Mark. Hey, I want to start out with some little fun fact here.
Sure.
Okay, so researchers examined the employment and unemployment rate changes over the past 5 and 10 years across all 50 states, and this is what they found out. This is recent. So the worst states to find a job, number one, West Virginia, and I'll just go through the list, Alaska, New Mexico, Wyoming, Louisiana, Mississippi, Nevada, Arkansas, Kentucky, and Alabama. So those are the places you don't want to move to. Now, on the other side is the best states to find a job. Number one this year is Colorado. That surprised me. New Hampshire, Utah, Minnesota, Idaho, Massachusetts, Texas is number 7, North Carolina, California is number 9, and Georgia. And I can certainly see that in California because I know our graduates from our career training are all just doing fabulously finding jobs. And on the other side of the spectrum, with the number of my clients, they're all looking for, you know, controllers and other positions, and they're really paralegals and so on and so forth, and it's a challenge to fill with qualified staff.
Right.
You know, there's plenty of people that are unqualified or underqualified. And it's really hard for that underqualified person to present themselves in a way that says, I can be taught. But employers should be looking at that opportunity, but it's really hard to read between the lines. Another thing is we've talked in our previous business sessions that, you know, there's ways to bring in and retain good employees. And so I wanted to mention a couple of the popular employee benefits. And the employee can benefit from these 10 possible, we got 10 or 9 or something. First one that I want to talk about is flexible work arrangements. You know, so we have employees who have flexible work arrangements tend to be more satisfied with their job, are more likely to be productive, and have higher attendance rates than those that are lacking work-life balance. And I think that's where the key comes in. Consider offering your employees flexibility when and where they can work. So what time, what their hours are. I know recently with all the issues of commute on Highway 68, you know, if you're going from Salinas to Monterey, maybe you want to start at the 6:30 or by 7 in the morning, go home at 3, or maybe you want to start at 9 o'clock, 9:30, and go home at 6. Mm-hmm. So that's a way to do the workaround in terms of commute and making life easier on the employee. It allows them to come to work without the 1.5 hour commute to go 28 miles and things like that. So another thing is talk about with your staff the 4 10-hour work weeks. Now, that became popular a while ago. Now, of course, in California has really muddied the waters in that area. So it's called an AWS, Alternative Work Schedule. And it is doable. But the situation is even for people that have 26 employees and below, they have to go through a secret ballot process and get 2/3 of the affected employees to all vote that they want to do it. And without going into the details about the labor code 511, the best choice that I have is if you're interested in doing that, which it is a good idea because that gives them 4 days on, 3 days off. That's a really good prospect for employees. But you need to check with your attorney for the details or an HR process.
And California does make it hard. Now, a friend of mine is in Utah, and he has a job working for a TV station as one of the engineers. And because the TV tower is on a mountain 60 miles out of Salt Lake, and it's up about 9,000 feet, it's not practical to have someone drive there every day because it's easily an hour and a half drive up the mountain just to get to work.
And winter is worse, I'm sure. Yeah.
And so what they do is they've got a really interesting schedule. He's on for an entire week, 24/7.
Oh.
And they have living quarters up there at the site. Then when he gets off, he's off for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then comes back 2 weeks later, and he loves it. He loves that schedule.
Yeah. Well, you know, there are other situations like that. I know firefighters that are Cal Fire, they get those. They used to have a 4-on-3-off, 3-on-4-off schedule. And I think firefighters get that, too. So there's probably other businesses that have that kind of arrangement and specialties. So another possibility on those employee benefits is offering paid vacation. You know, it's not required, federal or state, that you offer that. But having those kind of benefits, and then the second point about that is ensuring and encouraging employees to take those vacations. You know, I just read an article recently about a state employee who spent his 33 years accumulating his banking as vacation time. And when he quit or retired, they gave him a net check of $407,000. And from what the article said, there was at least 30 other people who had retired in this particular year, which was in 2018, that banked that kind of money. Now, it seems good for the employee side for the money check, but at the same time, there's not the healthy balance that people really need to be most effective at work.
Right.
Now, even the boring jobs, you need time away. So there's that. Another one is paid sick leave. I know it's required 3 days here in California, 24 hours. And so you don't have much choice about that. Another one is health insurance. There are a number of different plans that you can provide in this. You can have a full-fledged health insurance program like we do at our school. And you could have HSA things with this health savings account. There's many different ways to look at that. Another way to do it is to get a full-fledged health insurance and then have the employees participate, right? So it just depends on the dollars and the values. There's tax deductibility on the standpoint of pre-tax for the employees. Of course, all of it's deductible, properly set up for the employer. And so there's that. Another area that people might be considering nowadays is this student loan assistance, which in essence helps mitigate and drop some of the cost of the student graduating from college with a $300,000-$400,000 school debt, coming into work. It's a good way to bring in some of the top candidates coming out of the schools. And I think maybe you saw the 60 Minute piece on New York, what was that, medical school?
New York University Medical School, tuition free.
Now that was awesome. And, you know, that wasn't even tied to where they go destination wise as far as what they practice or where they practice. It was just across the board. So, you know, that's another way to bring in good employees and helping them. Of course, retirement plans, which include the simple IRA, 401k plans, profit sharing is another one, the SEF plan, payroll deduction IRAs, state-run plans, which I'd say don't run as fast as you can away from the one that's run by the state. But all of these plans are also potentials, but it's really a matter of what does the business have in terms of profitability. Mm-hmm. Recognize the fact that the first thing that you have to do with a business is manage it and run it in a profitable state. And profit isn't just necessarily net income. Profit, on another standpoint, is cash flow.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you have to be creating cash reserves before you start giving away the farm. I was doing consulting for a relatively well-known business over in Santa Cruz, and the old owners retired and sold the business as is, turnkey situation for new owners. And when the new owners came in, they really hadn't had a background of owning a business. They had been integrally involved with running a business, but not necessarily owning a business, and that's a significant difference. And the first thing they did is they came in and gave super awesome Blue Cross health insurance and all of these benefits, and then they spent a huge amount of money on Yellow Page ads, full page Yellow Page ads. And over the course of 2 years, all of a sudden, they ended up being in deep in debt, cash flow, needing to, you know, take money out of their retirement and a second on their house. And that's when they brought me in. And so when I sat down and looked at it, I said, well, you can't provide all of these benefits. And, you know, you're wasting money on marketing because where you're placing your dollars is not returning what you want and expect. And you just can't be doing it because the previous owners did it. The economy had changed. We're talking, guess what year? 2008, 2009.
Oh, boy.
So, you know, they eventually, you know, turned around and they did what I said, and then I had to move on. They didn't need me anymore. 2 years later, I went out of business because
they went back.
They went right back. It's like on a diet, how we end up you know, going back and gaining weight after that.
Yeah.
So here's another retention benefit, and it's called recognition, which is really simple. So, you know, have an employee of the month award. Have, you know, like an employee dinners. Have, you know, like hand out little $100 gift cards and things like that. The employee recognition is a huge value for reasonable or little money because people need the recognition, mm-hmm. especially when they see it amongst their peers.
How about as a way of trying to keep your health insurance costs down? Yeah. by providing health club benefits to your employees. Say, hey, if you want to be a member of, you know, this particular health club, we have a like deal for employees.
Like the Montage people around here and all that. Yeah. Well, I think that is interesting, and it certainly has caught a lot of press. Mm-hmm. The problem is with how many people start the new year joining a club, joining a gym, and after about 2 weeks, they're burned out on that. So what happens is a very small portion of your employees really do that consistently to get any benefit out of it, because you've got to exercise 3 days a week at least, 30 mm-hmm. minutes each time. And so it's a great idea, but it's sometimes problematic. If you, depending on your area, creating some sort of commuter assistance program, which also the IRS allows employees, there's a pre-tax basis, there's a deductibility for the employers that could include bringing in commuter vehicles or transit passes or qualified parking. You know, there's all kinds of possibilities. So those are just some ideas on how you might, as a business owner, tackle the challenges of not only hiring, but specifically retaining good employees, which we know is a problem in today's world.
It's a real challenge.
Yeah. Another thing that I've run into, and I've heard this through interviewing potential employees, is they're leaving a business because 2 years ago or a year and a half ago, their employer promised them a raise, but never came through with it. Another reason I've heard is the employer is working me way over time. I mean, I'm working when I'm at home. I'm working after the children go to bed. And, you know, that really is not sustainable. There's a big difference between there's an emergency or there's a huge project we need to get out and we're growing business. But just to abuse people's personal life, you know, that just doesn't fly anymore.
Yep. All right. Edward King has been our guest, and he'll be back in about 3 hours with Business Sense Radio at 1:30 this afternoon here on Power Talk. And Edward, any idea on what we have today for the program?
Well, we're going to continue on the employment basis, and I've got some really great questions for interviewing for a controller that we're going to tackle.
Okay.
And we're going to continue on from there.
Sounds great. All right, AllianceTrains.com, that's the website. Edward King has been our guest, and he'll be back with us again at 1:30 this afternoon, and then, of course, next Tuesday. Edward, the telephone number for Alliance.
It's 831-755-8200. We're open Monday through Friday, and we're located at 333 Abbott Street here in Salinas.